Welcome to the Love Yourself Naked podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Glubish, and I've been working with women for over 2 years to help them ditch the diet mentality, find food freedom, and gain a body confidence that they never knew was possible. There is so much information out there about how to eat, how to exercise, and how to live a healthy lifestyle. My goal on the show is to help answer all your questions and provide you the tools you need to live in peace with food and love your body. So if you are ready to discover what it's like to live a life without obsession, you are in the right place. Now let's get to the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is a guest episode with my new friend and I suppose like coworker and just an amazing new contact that I met recently. Her name is Jamie Morgan. Jamie works in a very interesting space. So I'm so excited to have her here today. I feel like it is very in alignment with everything that we talk about on the show and really learning how to tap into your most authentic and self-loving version of self. And so Jamie's going to tell us the space that she works in. I'm not going to spill the beans. I'm going to let her go ahead and do her intro. So Jamie, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I work with women who've gone through breakups and divorce, and I've been through that myself. And that's kind of what led me down this road. I've been coaching for 6 years, and I started working primarily as a relationship coach. And I still do some relationship work, but my primary clientele are women who have gone through breakups and divorce who are ready to let go of what's holding them stuck, whether it be the resentment or the grief, the sadness, the anger, and so on, or all of the above, to help them to rise into confidence and self-knowing and self-love while they attract potentially new love into their life moving forward.
So cool and so interesting. I think that there is such a need for that because, well, I mean, there's so many parts to this conversation and we'll get into it, but I think that there's, you know, the piece of what is your relationship with yourself and how does that impact your relationship with others? How does that impact your ability to move on from previous relationships? How do you prevent those same cycles from repeating themselves and all of it, which I'm sure you're familiar with all of it, but I would love to actually just unpack a little bit more of what is your story? What got you into this space? Obviously, for most of us, what we choose to pursue as entrepreneurs is a reflection of our own experiences and values and our desire to make an impact in a way that maybe we could have used. So yeah, I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Like our stories really do play into the direction our life goes. And I have been interested in helping people my whole life. I spent 20 years as a registered massage therapist here in BC. And during that time, I looked into going back. I did my undergrad at UVic and I did it in psychology. So I kept looking back going, I should do my master's in counseling, or I should, you know, looking into counseling diplomas and all these kind of things. So I've always had this interest in wanting to go into therapy of some form. Well, it took me down the coaching path eventually. And 6 years ago, I started coaching. I was trained in the Gottman method, and as well as doing my coaching certifications as well. And so that took me down more the relationship route. And what really inspired me was my own life, really. You know, I put myself in therapy when I was 13 years old for eating disorders. And I carried on, you know, it wasn't just eating disorder therapy over the years, different forms, but I definitely have always been somebody who's interested in seeking help when there was a problem. And then eventually in my first marriage, I was married for 15 years, or we were together 15 years, married for 13, wow, have two beautiful boys. And we spent a lot of time in therapy throughout those years. And we did have a beautiful marriage in many ways, but I will say it was never easy. It was a tough relationship. There was a lot of love, but there was also a lot of struggle. He left me very suddenly and very abruptly, about 6 years ago. It really coincided with me starting coaching. I had already, before he left me, I'd already started all my training, but Yeah, I really dove into relationships. Maybe that was part of my healing. You know, it's hard to say sometimes why we did what we did, but I was always attracted to learning more in that area. And so it was, you know, really diving into the coaching world is where I realized how much of not only my own healing, but watching clients go through the programs I was creating for them. So much healing happens when we have the courage to self-reflect and own our stuff. And I think the biggest lesson I learned in all of it is that the only person we can change is ourselves. And upon my own self-reflection, realized how much of my life had been spent trying to control other people, particularly my ex-husband, you know, the micromanaging, and that was all fear-based. I was terrified. I had a lot of insecurities, so there was a lot of fear playing into that relationship. And so seeing that within myself, after hitting that rock bottom of being left, seeing how much I was controlling in my life, whether it be certain aspects of myself, controlling others, trying to control so many things that are in reality completely out of my control. So that was a huge turning point for me that really, you know, played out in how I work with my clients in my programs.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. That's such a great insight into like why you are so passionate about what you do. And I can tell that you are so passionate about what you do and the help and the support that you provide. The one thing, the theme that is coming up right now is control. And I'm curious, like you also mentioned that, you know, you have an eating disorder history, like myself. I think we both know that a lot of that comes down to control, right? And controlling our bodies, trying to maybe divert the lack of control we have in other areas back onto ourselves, because that is the only thing, like you said, that we can control. So I'm curious for you through this whole process of like going through your divorce and really being in that relationship where you did really try to have your finger on the pulse all the time, or your needle on the pulse. What finger on the, you know what I'm trying to say. Did you find that any of those behaviors manifested, or did you find that you like were struggling with yourself during that time as well, be it your body image, your relationship with food, your self-confidence, any of those things?
Oh man, I think there was so there's so many triggers when it comes, you know, I spent 27 years in eating disorders, both anorexia and bulimia, and major body dysmorphia. I can now say I feel free. I mean, the body dysmorphia, I think body image is in our society, it's a tough one. You know, we could probably have a full conversation about that and nothing else. That being said, I am trying to have so much more grace around it, and really, I think for me, the awareness has changed, but the eating disorders, thank God, I really can say I've turned a page and have been able to feel free from that. But you're right, it is entirely around control and trying to control something within myself when everything else in my life felt out of control. And I think the realization that came to me after my divorce, because that, like I called it before, was a major rock bottom. And a lot of shifting happened for me and real self-ownership of recognizing that as much as I could sit here and tell you a million things he did wrong in the relationship, and so did I, but that's not going to serve me because I can't change him and I can't change the past. So I can't change that relationship now, right? So often that's what we do is we get stuck on the things that are in fact out of our control. You know, I could get stuck on blaming him for all the pain I felt, or and trying to control that, right? Controlling him, and I could get stuck on, you know, really focusing on my body when all of this outside part of me felt out of control when he left, and the fears that had come up. But I think the biggest lesson I learned is to really start owning that part of myself, recognizing this inner need I had for control that was coming up in not one area or two areas. It was coming up in almost every area of my life, this need for a sense of control. And learning over time, I don't want to make it sound like I just got it and moved on, but learning over time how to surrender to that and how to get comfortable with the lack of control. Because, in my opinion, the reality is in this lifetime, the only thing we have control of is ourselves in the present moment, but it's of our thoughts, our actions, and our reactions, and that's it. You know, yes, I can take action on my health and I can take action, but I also, there's a certain amount we need to surrender to. And I think that's where the most of our empowerment, I was going to say where the most power comes in, but it's just empowering to recognize there's also certain things that are always going to be a little bit out of our control, our genetics, right? And if we were born with certain genetics, the chances are if we're trying to fight that, we're going to be fighting our whole life. Aging is another one, right? Like, I'm 47 and our bodies change, our outer skin changes, all the things, you know, are we change as we age. And if we fight it constantly, again, we're trying to find control in something that is out of our control. To, you know, we can do what we can do, but I think there is so much power that can come when we can surrender more than we're trying to find control.
Yeah, that speaks volumes. And I feel like you, anyone that is a client that is listening to this episode is going to be like, I feel like Chelsea told her what to say because I say that all the time. I always say, like, there are certain things that are just out of our control. And unfortunately, we live in a society that tries to convince us otherwise, you know, whether it's like go get the surgery to change your body, or go on the diet or take the pill or, you know, put on the front, put on your poker face and pretend that everything's fine. Like there's always these external influences and voices that are speaking at us that are telling us like, no, you do have control. Like you do have the power to change if you work hard enough, right? If you try hard enough. But the reality is, I think part of controlling our actions, reactions, and our emotions is also accepting that sometimes that control looks like surrendering.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like even, and it's, we can get so easily triggered into it. Like, and I think the most beautiful gift for me has been the awareness and raising my awareness to have those moments of pause where I get to choose. Because, especially like in our world of social media, we're bombarded. And, you know, like, a lot of my career is, my job is on social media. This is where I market. This is where I do my stuff. And I'm on it all the time. And there's great purpose for that. So there's a certain amount of it that I have to be. But when I start to consume it, I'm equally as susceptible as the next person. And I found myself even this morning, you know, scrolling and getting kind of triggered and gone down a path of, it was around fitness and a certain way of eating and exercising that will change your body as a perimenopausal woman. And I, like, all this thing, and then it got me like on this, which I am grateful to say I do catch it. I can't say it doesn't affect me at all, but I'm working on that. I'm constantly working on it, on noticing and letting go, noticing and letting go. And recognizing also, do I want to go down that path? That might be right for somebody else. So I don't want to judge others. But for me, it can be a really dangerous downward spiral of getting back into kind of addicting behaviors. There are behaviors that feel addicting, at least for me, of getting caught up in how I look rather than how I feel.
No, I love that. Let's do like a little role play. So let's say someone comes to you and they are really struggling with that sense of control, right? And they are blaming and they are harboring so much resentment for their partner, past, present, whatever it may be. What are your first steps? Like, how do you start that process? Because I think when we're so stuck in that mindset, for you to just say, well, you have to release control. Like it's not in your control. People are like, okay, great. But like, what do I do with that? Like, what's easier said than done, right? So what does that look like in practice?
Well, I think the first thing I always would say to that in the moment is, what about the situation? It's actually within your control. And we talk through it, because let's just say they've gone through a breakup or divorce and they're still caught. And this could be something they're in the moment of, they're in the divorce right now, or it could be 10 years ago or more. Like, it's all kinds of scenarios, but oftentimes that's how long people can stay stuck in the blame, like what they did to me and how they hurt me and how dare they, and yeah, but right. And so, regardless of the timing, I would ask them in that moment to recognize within themselves, what about this is within your control and what is out of your control? And we talk through that. But the basis, like, I really like to create a strong foundation, really. Like, so of course, we talk about the things in the moment, but even more importantly is to bring people back to themselves. So we start, like, the initial steps are getting to know who you are again, because I think that we, whether it's through a lifetime from childhood and onwards, or whether it's through toxic past relationships or whatever it might be in our past, we lose sight of who we are. We start to identify more around what we do or who we've been told we are or should be. And when that is our self-identity, we're lost. And then we don't have confidence, right? And so I help to bring women and men back to a place of complete self-knowing. And I really believe that rather than trying, like, making the goal to be confidence, I like confidence to be seen as the after effect of finding yourself. I really see this. It's happened within me, and I've seen it time and time again with clients, is when we do the work of finding who they are, that authentic version, like the essence of them, as they do that work of uncovering that version of them, they start to accept themselves more just by getting to know themselves more. It's really cool. And then the confidence comes more naturally. I think so often we're seeking confidence, and oftentimes too, and don't, and this is not out of judgment. We've all been there, but we seek it out of the external. So we seek it out of how we look. So whether it's the size of our jeans or the weight, the number on the scale, or our facial, like whether we go and get Botox and fillers. And don't get me wrong, I do the things. Like, I love looking good and feeling good, but to me, that's not where the confidence, the true authentic confidence, come from. True authentic confidence is something that can never be broken or taken away, no matter what you look like or no matter what happens to you. It is the essence of you. And as I help men and women find that version of themselves again, the confidence comes. We dive into awareness, mind body awareness, tuning in, showing up in the present moment, what that feels like, and how you can bring that into your life. And then we create, like, we're moving forward, creating steps of letting go. And I have a four-step blueprint for letting go that really helps people to be able to shed layers while they're processing the actual feelings of what it is that they need to release, because that's a huge part for all of us. And it's the same, I'm sure, with the work you do of recognizing the thought patterns and the things, the trauma, the whatever it is that's holding you stuck, and through recognition, finding ways to be able to release it and to surrender to it so that you are feeling freer and freer to move forward in your life.
Oh gosh, absolutely. I think that probably one of the commonalities between both of our industries is childhood trauma. You know, how many people experienced divorce growing up, or infidelity, or just an unhappy relationship between their caregivers or their parents, or you know, whoever their role models were. And then you take that into your adulthood, and you either model that, or you don't want that, or you know, we end up filling voids as adults with what we didn't have as children. And you know, the same goes for food and body as well, is like, what did you witness growing up? What were you taught? What were the beliefs that were instilled in you, right? Like all of those things. going to interrupt this episode for just a minute to invite you to start your food freedom journey, to truly discover what it's like to live in peace with food and accept your body. Maybe you've thought about what it would be like to live without food rules, but fear that you won't be able to control yourself around pizza, cookies, ice cream. Maybe you have a desire to eat without food guilt, but fear weight gain. That is why I created my 12-week group coaching program, a step-by-step roadmap to help you ditch the diet mentality and embrace food freedom. Inside the program, you have access to all the tools you need to help you understand your metabolism, eat healthy, satisfying meals, and never feel the need to go on another diet again. You also have access to one-on-one coaching with me to help design a custom game plan specifically for you. So if you're ready, I'd love for you to join me in the Food Freedom Collective. You can grab your spot by clicking the link in the show notes or DMing me the word freedom on Instagram. Whether you've tried intuitive eating in the past or you're sick of dieting and ready to discover what it's like to have a healthy relationship with food that isn't stressful, this program will transform your life. All right, now back to the episode. I'm curious, what's your four-step blueprint for letting go?
Yeah. Oh, I came up with this. I love talking about it. The four-step blueprint for letting go really transpired because when I went through my divorce, the first thing, and I'm not kidding, like the first thing I wanted to do, which makes me laugh now, was I just wanted to let go. Mm. But what I realized is that was all just me not wanting to feel the pain. Yes. I was like, somebody magically touch my body and make it go away, and then I can let go and move on.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, had somebody have given me the step-by-step guide, I would have been all over that because I just wanted the steps. And so I created it after I'd gone through it and I figured out what the steps needed to be. So don't get me wrong. It's not a process you do once and then you wipe your hands clean of it. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately. But when you have these four steps, you do them on repeat when you notice you're getting triggered, when you notice your awareness is coming up that, oh, there it is. I'm spinning on that thing again. I'm getting hung up on it, right? Mm-hmm. So the first step around letting go is awareness. So most of us, that's the easiest part, because usually if I ask someone like, what is on your heart? What do you know you need to let go of that is no longer serving you? Usually one, if not 10 or 20 things come up.
Yeah.
So getting clear on what those are. Step two is feeling it. That's really the processing. And that can be a really hard thing for some people. It can start with journaling. It can start with, you know, talking it out and just allowing the feelings rather than pushing them down and avoiding or numbing.
Yeah.
And doing that very deliberately and consciously is important. Step three is the surrender. It's surrendering to what is. To me, it's like an exhale. It's like a release. It's where you can accept that you can't change anything that's already happened. Mm-hmm. It's done. So it's in that surrender that it's almost just like you can let go a little bit more. It's almost kind of like the letting go in the moment. And then step four is aligned action. So that is where you're allowed to take action moving forward into your future that's aligned with what you actually want in a healthy way. And that's what I help clients with too, is coming up with those steps. So it's not like you just have to blindly figure out what to do, but that's what I love about it, is because you can let go, you can process, you can go through the healing while at the very same time still moving forward. You don't have to, I don't believe you have to be completely healed before you ever move forward, because are we ever really completely healed?
No.
I believe when we go through this four-step process consciously, that we are, you know, we are taking control in a good way of our healing. And we're going into it mindfully, knowing that when I get triggered, I can work through this process. And I also talk about how it can be a 2-minute thing or a 30-second thing where I do it in my mind. I'm like, okay, I acknowledge it feels, you could almost make it like a statement. This feels sad, or I feel whatever. And you can go through it quickly, or you can take that home and knowing full well, I really need to do some deep work on this. And you can spend an hour working through the process, doing some journaling. And what it does is every time you go through the process, you're shedding a layer. Mm-hmm. So you're able to shed a layer. You're kind of becoming more of that higher version of yourself, and you're rising and moving forward every time. And it kind of feels like you're peeling back the walls that you've put up in protection.
Yeah.
Right.
I can see how that would be so healing. I can feel how that would be so healing, not just in relationships, but in so many things. Like I think of if you lose a job or if your employer is a total D-bag, you know, and thinking of how triggering that experience might be for you, or getting rejected from a job opportunity, right? Like that could be really triggering for people. Or when it comes to anything food and body related, somebody makes a judgment about your body or about your food choices, right? Looking at that letting go process, so many different things. Like, I think that that is, yeah, so valuable in all areas of life. I'm gonna write that one down and
Well,
keep
and
that
I
in
think
my mind.
it's a beautiful combination of awareness and it's empowering, but it's really tunes into the feeling. And I think that's for so many of us the part we avoid because it's uncomfortable. It just is.
It is.
And it's when we have the willingness to get uncomfortable and to allow ourselves to feel rather than numbing it. Because realistically, whether you're going through, I don't know, like alcohol abuse or drug abuse, or whether you have an eating disorder, or whether you're a gambler, there's all, like, I could go on and on and on, right? There's however many ways in the world that we choose as humans to numb our feelings. That's really, a lot of eating disorders, I believe it's a real, not only is it around control around our bodies, but it is like, I know for me, a trigger would happen, whether it was conscious or unconscious. And it would come out with a binge, like I would binge and purge.
Same. Yeah, me too. It was that experience. I've talked about this on a previous episode before, but I remember when that would happen, it was almost just like euphoric in the moment, because when you're binging, it's just you and the food, and you're not thinking about anything else going on. And it's almost like you almost just kind of like black out from the rest of the world.
Oh, it's so interesting talking with you because I don't actually get the opportunity to talk to a lot of people who have experienced eating disorders, let alone bulimia. And it's exactly like that. It's like you completely block out the world and you're in this like trance.
Yeah, it's crazy. What do you find? So talking about like your process being very much about doing the inner work, it's very parallel to mine, right? It's not sexy. It's not like take a pill or do this quick fix or just like follow this guide, this 7-day plan to, you know, healing from your divorce. Like it's nothing like that. So what do you find are the biggest barriers for you when working with clients or when talking to people who are struggling? What do you find the biggest barriers are to actually committing to your process?
To be honest, the biggest barriers are financial. There's a lot of people that aren't willing to invest in themselves. I think it's shifting. I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people, I've made this comparison before, so don't come at me, people. I get Botox. I understand, but I'm going to say it. We'll spend money on our nails and our Botox and our hair. I do all the things too. We'd all like to feel good. But it comes down to priorities. And do you actually want to change your life? Do you actually want to feel better? Because if you do, then you need to be willing to shift your priorities even for a short period of time. So if it does come down to finances, like it does for some people, well, then maybe for a couple months you don't get Botox. Or do the things, or you don't go out for dinner, or you shift your priorities. And I always say, have a really long, hard look at your bank account. And this is something I had to do for myself. Because when you go through your bank account with a fine-tooth comb and actually look at your credit card statements and all that, and go through, it will show you so clearly what your priorities are. And I always verbalize it this way, like write it down like a statement going blank just isn't a priority for me. So my personal growth just isn't a priority for me. How does that sit? Or my healing from this divorce isn't a priority for me. And I ask, like, if you've been stuck and in like a toxic dating cycle and dating the wrong people over and over again since your divorce, or maybe you've never been married, but you have gone through breakup after breakup, and it's just like this rotating door of narcissistic, toxic relationships, or there's all kinds of scenarios I could bring up, right? But these are common things I hear about. If that's your story and it's on repeat, something has to change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. So if you keep doing what you're already doing and just hoping, like white knuckling and keeping your fingers crossed that things are going to change, I hate to break it to you, but until you change something within yourself, your outer world won't change. Yeah, Botox will change like the surface. I'm talking about the circumstances, your fulfillment in life, your happiness in life, and what you attract into your world. I really believe that when we do that inner work and we heal and we rise into our confidence and the highest version of ourselves, we start attracting totally different people into our lives, not just romantically. You know, opportunities start coming out of the woodwork. And that friendships will shift, and you'll start seeing more and more aligned and really fulfilling relationships show up in your life. And then, if you are ready for a relationship and looking for a partner, when you've done that deep inner healing, your person shows up differently. And the types of relationships you're attracting romantically totally shift. But it requires you to be willing to invest in yourself and be willing to change. And it's going to feel hard,
Because it's
right?
not sexy like Botox.
It's not.
No.
It's not. And it really, I don't know if it's our culture that just hasn't normalized it enough yet. I'm not sure. But a lot of times we can justify so many other things and put that ahead
Yeah.
of our own inner healing. And a lot of times, too, if for those who have children, we and this isn't a, I'm not saying it's bad to spend money on your children, but we tend to put our kids' happiness way before ours.
Yeah.
And we'll spend and do anything we can for them, but at the expense of our own happiness sometimes, because we then don't leave enough room or time or space for us to do our own inner healing. And so I think it's really helping women and men, to find the value of investing in themselves.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so on point. That's definitely, I would say a couple of the barriers that I experienced for sure, financial, but also just that struggle of getting over the fact that like a quick fix isn't going to work and healing the outside is not going to heal the inside. It's going to make you feel good for a short period of time and then the cycles are going to repeat themselves.
Exactly. And I can say from my own experience is that, wow, like when you step into confidence, true, like the confidence I've been talking about, like the real deal confidence, holy, does it feel different? Like it is better than any quick fix I've ever, like, and it's lasting, and it's not, it doesn't go away. It's there, it lives within you. It's been the biggest, most important thing I've done in my life. And I really do feel that it's helped me to attract Justin into my life. And it's just helped me to finally be happy. Like my anxiety, I don't want to say that my anxiety just totally disappeared. I get it far more naturally now, every now and then, but it's not like I was debilitated with anxiety for decades. And I just classified myself as an anxious person. And it wasn't until I did that deep healing that it's like, oh, it's like, again, it's like I can't explain it other than you just let go and it feels so good. I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like.
Wow, so cool. So, for anyone that is resonating with everything that we're talking about, everything that you're saying, what are some pieces of advice that you could offer? Obviously, talking about that four-step blueprint, and we didn't dive into it in detail. You'll have to hit up Jamie if you want the details on that. But, that is a great thing, a great tool to have in their belt. But are there any other tools or pieces of advice that you can offer for people who are wanting to heal from loss, divorce, any kind of like a difficult dynamic in relationship with others or even relationship with self?
Yeah. Oh gosh, there's so many things. I think though that if you are willing to get uncomfortable, face fears, lean in. I always say lean in, because sometimes jumping into the deep water of fear is too much. Dip your toes in. If it feels scary, sometimes that is just the exact right direction. I don't think it has to always feel good to be right. I think sometimes we have to really be willing to get uncomfortable and do the hard work.
Yeah.
And I promise you, the other side of that fear is freaking amazing. It really is. And I've done it. I've almost become addicted to facing my fears because it is that good.
Yes.
It's true. So if you're feeling scared and it feels too big, really ask yourself, what is stopping you? And maybe get out of your own way a little bit. I think that's, I had to do it. I think, and the clients that I've seen have the most success have really had to dig deep and have some hard moments. But the nice thing, like when you hire someone like yourself or me or whomever, but you have support through it, so you're not going to be alone. And that has always meant the world for me. Like I said, I put myself in therapy when I was 13, so it has, it's always been a priority for me to really get the help I needed. But having that support is really important as you're going through the hard times, not only for, and also holding you accountable, right? I also think nothing changes if nothing changes. If you want anything in your life to change, whether it's your health, your mindset, your relationship, right? You have to be willing to do something different. So often we talk about it, but we don't change anything.
It's so interesting when you talk about like having that addiction to facing your fears now. I kind of feel that same way anytime that I experience a trigger of some sort, whether it's a body image trigger or an emotional trigger, whatever it is, I always say your triggers are trying to tell you something. And so now when it happens, I'm like, oh, it's a trigger. Like I get to work through something. And it is kind of that excitement of this is just an opportunity to grow. This is an opportunity to get to the other side of this so that it doesn't control my life anymore.
Exactly. It's so true. And that comes from awareness too, right? Having the awareness to like go, oh, I mean, even this morning, and this will resonate with your listeners around body image and stuff. I was doing a workout at home and was using bands, and I'm kind of trying to work on my strength a little bit more. And I caught a glance in the mirror, and this is the mirror has been a big trigger for me my whole life. And yeah, no, I don't want to say I was super pleased with what I saw, but it's interesting because I now have surrendered to that. When I look in the mirror, even if I'm not, I try and find, okay, but what about it do I like? And why does it matter? And I challenge myself, and it's almost like those triggers are pushing me to lean in further and look a little longer and just like love it, even if it's not what I used to love. Do you know what I mean? And that's just, it's really empowering because what I've learned too is it always changes. It's just a moment. Like that moment changed. Now I'm dressed for my day and whatever, and I feel great. I'm no longer thinking about that, but don't get me wrong, that took years of really, really learning and shifting and digging in and surrendering, but it can happen.
It does. And I think the point you bring up about getting support is so important because I always say that we can't expect the brain that got us here to be the same brain that gets us out, right?
Yes.
If you have spent decades digging yourself this hole or establishing a certain belief system or, speaking a certain narrative to yourself, to others about others, it's going to change, it's going to require a different perspective in order to change that. And it's not realistic to expect that that's just going to come from the same brain that got you there.
Oh. Exactly. And I think too that so often when you have professional help, we can see from a different perspective that you're seeing it and bring to the table so much that you're not able. It's just almost impossible from your perspective to see it that way. So it shows up and it can expand the process so much more by having that other perspective coming in and seeing it in a light that you haven't seen it before.
Totally, totally. Yeah. I want to get your contact information for people to go to and find you and follow you. But I have one last question for you that I ask every guest on the podcast. And the question is, what does self-love mean to you? And what does that look like in practice?
Self-love to me is self-knowing, self-understanding, self-accepting. It was sort of what I mentioned before. I have found through my own experience and now through guiding others through this process is self-love really started for me when I just made the goal to know myself and understand myself more. And the love came naturally and organically from just getting to know myself and not, like I say, that true version, the essence of me. And that to me is self-knowing, is self-love.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that. I've never gotten an answer like that before. So that's amazing. I love that, Jamie. Okay, so where can people find you? How can they find out about your services and what you offer and follow along with you and your journey and all the things happening in your world?
Well, my website, of course, jamiemorgan.com.
Okay.
And on Instagram, I'm at the Jamie Morgan. And on Facebook, I'm Jamie Morgan Coaching. I always tell people to watch the spelling of Jamie because it's not that it's Jaime. But
Right.
yeah, that's where I am. I would love to connect and jump on a free call. I've got free discovery calls, and there's no strings attached if anyone is just curious about the work I do, how we can work together. There's lots of different options, so I would love to connect.
Amazing. Okay, I will be sure to link that all in the show notes. And thank you again so much for being here. This was so expansive, so insightful. For me, selfishly, and I know it will be for everyone else that's listening as well. So I so appreciate you being here with me today, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you guys got value from the show, I would love for you to rate and share it. And if you have any questions about the conversation today, you can always find me on Instagram or Facebook at Chelsea Glubish. Catch you on the next one.